Well, greetings, everyone. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I got to get you going. What a week. The rain came down, and it came down, and it came down, and it flooded, and all around. And I was traveling on the back roads of Mount Pleasant Mills and had the opportunity to see the water levels at their peak and the flooding and all the other destruction, if you want to call it that, erosion and everything else and debris that washed onto the surface of the road. It was almost becoming an obstacle course trying to drive around it. But hopefully with the highway department getting out there and cleaning up and things getting back to normal, we are in January. Although it seemed like some of the weather conditions have been unbelievable, it's amazing we get closer to the spring, and of course we think about the spring holy days, we have to remember we're still in January, but we're fast approaching February, which means we're closer to spring and the holy days. Well, God says the prayers of a righteous man avails much, but I want to emphasize also the prayers of a righteous woman avails much. Now, there's many things that we can pray about. We can think about all kinds of subjects that comes to relationship to prayer. But I think there's one subject that sometimes perhaps we don't always think about as a group. Now, we do individually as we pray individually, but we don't necessarily think sometimes about as individuals in a group. And you're wondering, what is he talking about? What's he going to talk about? I'm going to talk about a subject that's very important. A subject that needs to be discussed, because it's something that sometimes we can easily overlook. And it's something that God has given us, a gift, a blessing, an opportunity for the individuals. And what is that blessing? What is that gift? What is that opportunity? It's children. Children are a tremendous blessing, a tremendous gift from God. But you know, if we don't pray for our children, they'll grow up fast. 18 years sounds like a long time, but anybody who's had children and have children that are grown up, they can look at those 18 years and said, where did they go? 18 years come and went so quickly, and now children, our children are having children. And so some of us are grandparents now, and I look back and some are great grandparents. It's a tremendous blessing. It's a tremendous gift. But today I want to talk about children. I just thought it's an opportunity, and I want to encourage each and every one of us to pray for the children. That's the title, if you want to title this sermon. Pray for the children. Now, I'm going to give you some basic guidelines. There's nothing new spiritual knowledge I'm introducing here. It's all basic knowledge that the Bible does refer to. And I think it's very important that as we look at these points that I'm going to introduce, that we put them into practice. That we do pray for our children. And not only our children, but our grandchildren, our nephews, our nieces, all the children that we know personally. You know, this congregation is made up of almost half of children. You count the number of children that are here, it's almost half the congregation. So it's a very important, vital part of our congregation is the children. And God expects us to remember the children and remember them in prayer. And so there's going to be some very basic points I'm going to introduce to you. Now, how you pray to God about children is strictly a personal matter. And you can take these points and personally pray to God for your children, for your children's children, which would be grandchildren, and for children you know personally, like nephews and nieces. They all are part of the family of God. And they will be part as the kingdom is established. And so we look to them as the future guidance and direction through our parents. Now, our parents are given a tremendous responsibility. We realize that. And it's not easy. I was a parent. I'm a grandparent now. And I know what it takes to handle and deal with children. It's a challenge. It's not always easy. And we need to pray for the children because there are things that are going on in the world that are very destructive to the ways of life. And if our children are not given guidance and direction and encouragement and prayer, they can easily get caught up in the snares of the ways of the world. And suddenly we find after 18 years of teaching, instructing, guiding, and praying, sometimes we feel like we're failures. But God knows the hearts of men, and He knows the hearts of our children, and He knows the purpose for each and every one of us. And He gives a tremendous responsibility to parents and grandparents to teach. And most importantly now, I want to emphasize and pray for the children. So let's look at some points. First point I want to talk about, let's turn to James, in the book of James. Let's look at James 4. Now in the book of James, which is interesting, I didn't think about that, but we are studying the book of James, so this kind of fits in. I'm jumping a little ahead of Mr. Waddle, but you'll get to this point as well. In the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." Now I want to bring this point up here. We need to pray for our children's protection. Now, protection is a lot of different ways. But one of the ways is the protection from evil. There is a devil out there, and he would love to take our children and lead them the wrong way. And if we're not praying for our children to be guided and directed and to resist the devil's temptations, and they're strong, and as children grow up, they will be tested. And so we need to pray for our children. We need to pray for protection from the evil one, which is the devil. And if we do, and we continue to pray for them, and they, our children, pray, then they can flee from the temptations of the devil, and they can remain strong spiritually. Over in 1 Peter, if you want to turn there to 1 Peter, chapter 5, and here's some of the ways that the younger children can also flee from the devil. And we can encourage him. Part of praying is teaching. We know, and teaching is praying. It's a combination that works in harmony and together. And we need to utilize those two avenues, prayer and teaching. In Deuteronomy, we're told that we need to teach our children God's ways. And we do that. We've been instructed and we do that. But along with teaching, we need to pray. We need to pray for the children. So over in 1 Peter chapter 5, let's look at verse 6. Well, actually, let's step back to verse 5. I want to refer to verse 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." So children are encouraged to submit unto the elder, or younger to the elder. "Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." And this is one of the ways that we can protect ourselves from the evils of the world, is clothing ourselves with humility. "For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." And it's a very simple lesson. If we teach our children to be humble and to know and understand God's way of life, in verse 6, "Humble yourselves therefore under the almighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And that's what the kingdom's all about. There's coming a time when exalting of individuals will take place. But we need to pray for our children and ask God to help us, because as parents, it's a tough challenge. Like I said, it's not going to be easy. But we need to pray for our children, and being humble is one of the ways that Satan, the devil, will resist. He will flee from our children if our children are humble. And we need to teach our children humble, and we need to teach our children to pray. And part of praying is praying for other children. I think it's very important that our children pray for children. So when I emphasize praying for the children, I want to encourage our children to pray for the children as well. Once they know, and once they hear about in the paper. Every day we read in the paper about some horrible, horrible things, events that take place in society. How evil, I mentioned about protection from evil. There are individuals who have been molested, children have been killed by their parents. The ones that are supposed to love them and take care of them and nurture them. And that's part of the evil that this society is all about. And that's why we need to pray for our children's protection. Not only from the protection of society and Satan the devil, but protection from harm in health. Many children are suffering with sicknesses, and we need to pray for protection for health. It's very simple. But again, if we aren't praying about it, then sometimes our children are suffering. And I was just talking to John today, and he was saying about little Isaac is dealing with a health issue. And so we need to pray for the children and pray for his health, that God will heal him and that God will restore his health once again. John can give you the updates on that. I'll let him, whatever information he has available. But again, that's another prayer, praying for the health of the children. Another area is seeking wisdom in friendship. We need to pray for our children's friendships. You know, if we just let our children grow up and develop friendships on their own, and we don't give them some guidelines and directions, we may be shocked at who some of their friends are. And I can understand that, because I grew up in a world where before I knew the truth of God, I had friendship with friends who were not the wisest friendships. But as you grow in grace and knowledge and understanding, and as we teach our children to develop friendships, we need to ask God to give us and our children the wisdom to make wise friendships. Now, the Bible talks about friendships over in Proverbs, and I like the book of Proverbs, so I'm going to refer to a lot of Proverbs today. Over in Proverbs 13, we'll start at Proverbs 13. And verse 20. Now, these are very basic scriptures, but these are things we can pray about and ask God for our children to make wise decisions concerning friendships. In Proverbs 13 and verse 20, he says, "He that walks with the wise men shall be wise." Now, that's a very basic teaching right there. And it says, "But a companion of fools shall be destroyed." So, the children are either going to pick wise friendships or children that may lead them to the path of destruction. So we need to pray for the children's friendship. And we need to know who their friends are. Now, I know children sometimes don't always like that. They want to be friendly with everybody. And it's okay to be friendly with everybody, but you're going to be closer, hopefully, with children that have more like minds. And some of the closest friendships that I developed as I was growing up as a child was in the Church of God. And there's still many of them in the Church of God that I have a very close relationship, and they were some of my closest and dearest friends. And many of you I grew up with. So I know you personally as close friends. And that's what it takes. It takes a developing of friendships, of wise friendships. You can easily read about in Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, and let's look at verse 24. Here's another example of friendship in Proverbs 22, verse 24, because this can happen. "Make no friendships with an angry man, and with a ferocious man you shall not go." It says, "Lest you learn his ways and get snared by your soul." So here the Bible gives us basic knowledge and wisdom to tell us, be careful who your friendships are with. If you have a friend that gets angry and he can do harmful things, violence. One of the worst times of the year is Halloween. That's when a lot of kids go out, they trick or treat, they smash things, they break things, they do the wrong things, and they lead others to do the wrong things. I know individuals who personally would not have gotten caught up in some of the things in society if they hadn't chose their friendship wisely, but they associated with individuals that led them down the wrong path. And that's why we need to pray for our children, that God gives us the wisdom and gives them the wisdom to make wise choices in friendships. Let's look at Proverbs 18. Well, this is very important because peer pressure, and that's where friendships come in. Peer pressure can cause children to do things that they normally would resist to do, but they can easily fall into the snares. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. This is the way of finding right friends. This is wisdom in finding right friends. And this is one that I refer to, Proverbs 18:24. "A man that has friends must show himself friendly,
And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, I referred to this scripture because I think of my wife every time I read that scripture. When we were dating, I sent her a letter, and I wrote in that I thought she was closer than a brother. And she is. She's very dear to me, and she's one of my closest friends. So we need to develop right friends. And so as we're praying for our children, ask God to give them the wisdom to make wise choices in friendship. Another area, and this is very important, we need to pray for the knowledge of the children to learn and understand right from wrong. Society is going to teach your children wrong is right. But we can learn from the truths of God that right is right. Wrong is not right. And so we want to encourage and through prayer that our children learn knowledge of right from wrong. And it's going to be hard. Again, peer pressure is out there. Kids are going to try to sway your children to do the wrong thing. And it goes, it's okay. It's okay to take drugs. It's okay to drink alcohol. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. But it's wrong. And wrong, when it is told is right, confuses children. It puts a lot of confusion in the minds. That's where the parents need to teach. And don't ever stop praying. It's a lifetime process. You're going to be praying for your children from the time you were born to the time you die. Your parents prayed for you, and you're going to be praying for your children, and your children are going to be praying for their children. So it's a cycle that God designed for all of us to do. But we need to pray that our children understand right from wrong. Now let's look at Proverbs 20. Can I emphasize a lot of Proverbs? It's one of my favorite books in the Bible because it gives you so much wisdom. If an individual would just spend a large amount of time in the book of Proverbs, he would learn the right way to go. In the book of Proverbs 20, let's look at verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. And that's so true. A child will eventually know right from wrong. If he is taught the right way and he lives the right way, he will reap the benefits of living a righteous life. However, if a child does what's wrong and he's taught by society what is wrong, your children are going to be taught in school evolution. They're going to be taught false values, false teachings, and they're going to be told they're right. Now, as a parent, you're going to have to deal with this. And as a grandparent, we're going to have to deal with this. Society's pulling our children away from God. But we have to keep praying that God, with His power and His Spirit, and we know God has the power and the capability of helping all of our children. So all of our children, whether we have children or not, we can pray for our nephews, our nieces, our cousins, aunts, uncles can all pray. Grandparents, of course, pray for their grandchildren, great-grandchildren. It's a team effort. It's a team effort for all of us being part of it and encouraging God to teach our children right from wrong. Over in 2 Timothy, well, I better go over to the New Testament. I don't always want to stay in the Old Testament, but I do love the book of Proverbs, and I could spend hours in there. But again, I want to refer to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. And here we're told, again, right from wrong. And children, as they learn right from wrong, they will see examples here in 22, chapter 2, verse 22 of 2 Timothy. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So when the children are taught and they develop righteousness character and they know right from wrong, they will live a righteous life. And we can reap the benefits as parents and the blessings of that. Another area that I want to encourage every one of us. Now, this is down the road. These subjects, again, I mentioned, you're going to have to apply them to you, wherever your children are in life. But the cycle of life, from birth to death, all these values fall in line somewhere in the individual, in our child's life. The next point I want to bring out is godly husband and wife and a happy marriage. We need to pray to God and ask that God provides a godly husband for our children
or a godly wife, and with that, a happy marriage. Now, society is tough. There are a lot of unhappy marriages. And the Bible is filled with examples of marriages, both good and bad, and mates, both good and bad. But we need to pray and ask God to provide for our children, godly husbands and godly wives. Wife. I get corrected every time when I say wives. One. Only one. A godly wife. That's hard to say. Natural is flowing is wives. But a godly wife that God would provide for our children. Now, the children are going to grow up. I mentioned 18 years. Some will go on to college. Some will marry. And when they turn 18, not necessarily marry at age 18, but they'll be moving on to other things. And they'll be developing families of their own. And it's very important that we pray even when they get married. The road to marriage is not always easy. It's a rocky road. There's highs and lows in marriage. But for the most part, marriage should be a happy time. It should be a joyous time. A time that each and every one of us can enjoy. And whatever amount of time we have with our husband and or wife, we want our children to experience that joy and that happiness. So let's look at 2 Corinthians. And let's look at chapter 6. Okay, this in verse 14. This is a verse in the Bible that a lot of people use for a variety of reasons. I want to emphasize about marriage, about seeking God and beseeching God for a godly husband and a godly wife for our children. Because here in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, verse 14, this is an example of something that can happen for individuals who marry individuals that are not godly. And unfortunately, some do. In verse 14, it says, "Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." And sometimes children find mates outside the church. Now, that's not always a bad thing, but it's better to marry in the church because you have much more in common, and the chances of a happy marriage is much greater. But there have been individuals who have married outside the church, and divorce became an issue, and the happy marriage was not fully available to them. Now, I know children sometimes don't always listen to their parents, and sometimes they pick a mate. And that's where sometimes, earlier when I mentioned about friendships, they pick friendships that's not pleasing to the parent. And that's why you got to pray for your children, because we want our children to experience a happy marriage. And we want them to experience a wonderful husband, if it's our daughter, or a wonderful wife, if it's our son. But sometimes they go the opposite, and sometimes they choose the wrong individual. It says, "For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness?" And that's a good question. Will they find righteousness in a marriage if one is unrighteous and the other is? You can't put oil and water together and expect it to stay together sometimes. If you have two individuals living contrary lifestyles, it's hard for a marriage to stay together and be happy. I'm not saying it can't work. Okay, I know of individuals personally who's married together. They married, the individual was in the church at one time. They left the church, married outside the church, and they have a very happy marriage. So it can happen, but the odds are against them. So pray for your children. Pray that God will provide a husband or a wife and provide a happy marriage for our children. It's very important. And if possible, God knows the makeup of our children, and He'll provide the perfect mate for them. You'll find that as time progresses, that will be revealed in this time. Another point, personal salvation and a commitment to God's way of life. I think every parent prays this prayer. As our children grow up, we pray that God will enter their heart, encourage them to do what is right, to make a commitment to God's way of life. As we taught our children, we hold the values and we teach them what is right, and we know that God will be with them, children. The children are a special blessing, I mentioned earlier, and God is working with our children. And if the children continue faithfully committed to God's way of life, it's a tremendous blessing for all of us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Let's look at chapter 1. And let's begin in verse 4. Now, I think anytime you start a prayer to God, we need to start with thankfulness and asking God for thankfulness. And I think we need to thank God always for our children. They are a tremendous blessing. Challenging, yes. Exciting, yes. Frustrating, sometimes. But wonderful blessings. Wonderful blessings. And we should thank God every day when we are praying for the children, for them, and thank them for them. In verse 4, it says, I thank my God always on your behalf. Now here, this is Paul is referring to the Corinthian church. But we can also take this to heart to ourselves, and we can say, I thank God always on your behalf. And that's in reference to our children. That we can thank God every day on behalf of our children. For the grace of God, which is given unto you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, and in all utterance and in all knowledge. And so as we teach our children knowledge, and as I mentioned, teaching and prayer goes in harmony together. They work together. Verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you shall come behind in no gift, wanting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope our children are looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. I hope we taught our children that Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, whether it's in our lifetime or whether it's in our children's lifetime, only time will tell. It will be revealed in its proper time. But I hope you're teaching your children that Jesus Christ is going to return. And I hope your children are looking forward to that time. This is some of the personal salvation that will take place at the return of Jesus Christ. Now, whether our children are fully grown up and have reached maturity, or whether they're still young children, whenever Christ returns, I hope the children are looking forward to the return of Christ. Another area that we can pray for our children is in godly decision making. This is a challenge for every parent, to encourage our children to use God's word wisely in making decisions in life. Life is tough. Our children will be influenced to make decisions as they grow up. And if they hold on to the values of the teachings of God, the Word of God, they can make wise decisions. They have a special gift, opportunity, and that's the access to God the Father, the one who created the earth and all of mankind and everything that exists. Our children have access to that God. Let's look at Proverbs 3. Back to Proverbs. Like I told you, we're going to do a lot of Proverbs today. But I greatly enjoy Proverbs. So I hope you don't mind me going back and forth to Proverbs. Proverbs 3. Verse 5. Let's look at verse 5 again. Godly decision making. Pray for our children to make wise, godly decision making. It says here in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. This is where decision making comes. If we decide for ourselves based on our own understanding, we're going to fail miserably. We're going to make lousy decisions and we'll have a tough, tough life. But in verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge God, or acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And this is so true. If we trust in God for wisdom and making wise decisions, he will guide our paths. And he will guide the paths of our children. If we pray and ask God for godly wisdom and making wise decisions. I'm watching my time here, so I'm going to continue to the next points. I thought about how many points do I bring out. There's so many points that you can pray about for children. You could make more than just a split sermon out of this. You could make actually several sermons out of it. Each one of these subjects could be a sermon. But I think I want to emphasize these points, and I want you to think about points for yourself and how it applies to your life and your children and your grandchildren. And you can incorporate them in your prayer life. Another point, now I'm at 7 if you've been counting. For those who aren't counting, I'm at 7. Resistance to false teachings. Now, I mentioned earlier about how society, the college, our children go on to college, evolution is a false teaching. And it is so ingrained in our system of society and our education that evolution is how the existence of mankind. And they resist teaching anything about God. And that's why these false teachings can easily sway our children away from God. They can pull them away. We have the influence of our children up to 18 years. They go on to college, the professors suddenly have our children. And they grab a hold of them and they teach them false teachings. And no matter how much we try to influence our children to hold on to true values, they will be influenced. They will be influenced by these false teachings. Now, some will resist, and that's why we need to pray. Pray to God to give the children the resistance to false teachings, because it's so important. Over in Matthew 7. Now, this is a scripture that refers to individual. Matthew 7. Let's look at verse 15. Now you can look at this scripture and say, okay, the Bible says false prophets. Well, anybody who's an educator and is predicting futures based on evolution is predicting false prophecies. So I want to include them under false prophets. In this verse 15 it says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing." And they do. They look like they'll have backings of books, and they'll have backings of science and saying, well, this is how society explains the creation of life and mankind and the earth and how it came into existence. And some of these things can fascinate individuals. And if children don't resist this, they can easily get swallowed up by false doctrines and false teachings. But it says, inwardly they are ravaging wolves. And we need to realize that some of these professors, now they don't come out with gnashing of teeth, like the Bible refers to, and showing the true colors. Okay, they're going to teach false doctrine, and they're going to have a smile on their face, and our children can get very confused by that. But if they hold on to the doctrinal teachings in the Bible, they will know, as I mentioned earlier, right from wrong, and evolution is wrong. So if you're being taught in school now that evolution is the way of creation, it's false. It's a false teaching. I want to encourage our children, resist false teachings. Now, I know if you stand up and say, well, that's a false teaching, you're going to be chastised, you're going to be criticized, you're going to be condemned, you're going to go through a lot of embarrassment. But in your heart, okay, that's the key. In your heart, you know what is right. No matter what they try to teach you, please resist against these false teachings. Okay? Point number 8, let's look at developing of good works and good habit, good work habits, if you want to term it that. Now, you can think, well, what does that got to do about godliness? Why should we teach children to work and develop good work habits? Well, I think it's very important. When we lay the foundation and teach our children to work hard and to do what's right, they will grow up into society and be an example for others. Very positive examples if we teach them the proper development of good work habits. Let's look at Colossians. Colossians 3, chapter 3. And verse 23. Colossians 3, verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. So I hope when our children grow up and they go out into the work field that they've been taught to develop good work habits, and they can be a good example to their employer. Now, not that you want to stand out and be praised and for vanity purposes and try to be self-praised here. You can work hard for an employer privately without having all the glamour and all the glory and do the right thing. Your employer will notice it. He'll find and see When an individual is a hard worker, a diligent worker, an honest worker, and you don't have to toot your horn, the fruits will show. Good fruits will bear forth good fruits. And good work habits will develop a good character. And your employer will probably benefit you from that. He'll appreciate you, number one. Now, he may not agree with your religion. And I've had experience with that. My employer loved me, but he didn't love my religion. But that's fine. The important thing is developing good work habits. And so we need to pray and ask God, again, for our children to develop good work habits, to be honest with individuals, in dealing with individuals. Be honest, be sincere, and be trustworthy. And again, God will use these characters in our children, and then they will develop character that will be pleasing not only to God, but also to man. Now, the next point is a point that I think we can kind of relate from childhood all the way up to 100 years of age, if you want to term it that, a lifetime process. The sense of security and love. Now, that's a wide subject of security and love. Our children need to know the security and love from their parents. And that's what we're here for. And also from uncles and aunts and cousins and grandparents. Everyone involved, even the individuals in the church, can encourage love. Let's look at John 15. Again, a very basic scripture that hits home so true and so powerful. I think if we just imply this in our lives and to our children and to our children's children, we will find that the children will have a sense of security and they will know they are loved. If we emphasize this point here in John 15 and let's start at verse 12. John 15 and verse 12. It says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends." Verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And so the children need to know, not only do they have the love of the parents, but they have the love of God. They have the opportunity of having the love of God. What a tremendous blessing for our children to know that they are being loved by God. Verse 15, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I have called you friends." So even Jesus Christ here emphasizes you're his friend. And your children are the friends of God as well as Jesus Christ. So these are tremendous knowledge. And if we apply these into our lives and our children, we pray for the children to understand and know that they're loved. They will feel the love. You can't hide love. When you have love for someone, it just shows. And one of the greatest love is love for children. So let's pray that the children can fully comprehend and have the security of knowing that they are loved. And that they are loved not only by their parents, their grandparents, aunts and uncles, but they are loved most importantly by God the Father and Jesus Christ. So that's something that I think the children can hold on to a lifetime. And the last point is become a good example to others. Now, if you take all these earlier points that I talked about, and you emphasize every one of those into one form or another, into your child's prayer, praying for your children. If we want to go back, I'll do a quick review. We talked about protection from the evil one and from the society and the ways of society. We talked about wise friendships. We talked about the knowledge of right and wrong, so the children know what is right. Don't let society tell you wrong is right, because they will. Developing knowledge of right and wrong. Praying for a godly husband for our daughter and a godly wife for our son. And encouraging him to have a happy marriage. And it will be highs and lows in marriage. There are good times and bad times. But the bulk of the marriage should be a happy marriage, and we can pray for that. Personal salvation and a commitment to God's way of life. As they get older, they will develop and hopefully develop the character and a relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. Godly decision making, very important, because as they get older, they're going to be on their own and they're going to be making decisions. And so we need to pray for godly decision making. Resistance to false teachings. As they go on to higher education, the false teachings will come consistently their way. And if they don't resist it, they can easily get caught up in false teachings. Developing good work habits. When they're out in the work field, they're in need to develop good work habits. The Bible over in Proverbs, I didn't go there in reference to this point, but over in Proverbs it says about a slothful man, a lazy person, one that doesn't work hard, their fruits are not good. So we want to encourage our children to develop good work habits. And by developing good work habits, they'll be blessed, not only by man, but particularly by God in the end. And a sense of security and love, I think very, very important. We need to make sure, tell our children we love them. If you don't tell your children that you love them, they won't know. Now, you can express love in many ways. Some are more verbal than others. For those who are verbal, that's great. Express love any way that you can. But let your children know that you love them, and the security of knowing that you love them, and that Jesus Christ and God the Father loves them, and that the kingdom is all about security and love. And becoming a good example to others. If you imply all these points and additional points of your own, I mentioned about seek points of your own, imply them and how they affect you and your children and your children's children, they will become good examples to others. Let's look about that over in Ephesians. Ephesians let's look at chapter 6. Yeah, let's look at chapter 6. I think this is a part of becoming good example for children. Now again, our children as they grow up, 18 years seems like a long time, but I can look back, my son's 34. I have to remember, 34 now. My daughter's 33. Jeremy will be 35 in June. Wow. Okay, that's part of being a grandparent. He doesn't always keep the numbers in the head. I know the names, so that's positive. Anyway, over in chapter 6, in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So if the children obey God and they obey their parents, they honor their father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, and they do the commandments of God, they'll set the right example, that it may be well with thee and that you may live long on the earth. Now, that's a blessing from God, that they may live long on the earth. And I can look at my parents. My father's 80. He's lived a long life, and that's a blessing from God. And it says here, as we continue down, it says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Because sometimes fathers can be pushy. But again, we have to learn to balance it. We have to set example for our children. Just like children will set example for other children, we have to set example for them. So you can see the whole harmony and the whole organization of working together as parents that God designed for us to do, to raise our children, to teach our children, to pray for our children. It's a whole cycle. And as our children grow up and they become parents and they raise their children, they need to set good examples. And some of that is, like I say, obeying your parents as you were children, growing up, and learning the truth and keeping the commandments of God. Let's look at 1 Timothy 4. I think this is very important because as we set an example. And I remember this happening to me as a child, and I kind of look at it, and I can snicker now and laugh at it. At the time, it wasn't easy. Keeping the Sabbath and being called Jew boy and all kinds of slur terms because of the Sabbath keeping, it wasn't easy. And I can look back at that and kind of snicker now and say, well, you know, maybe I was a Jew boy, but that's fine. God's pleased with keeping the Sabbath. Verse 12, it says, let no man despise your youth, but be you an example of the believers in the word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, and in faith, and in purity. Children, hold on to your values. Parents, continue to pray for your children. Put into practice this teaching of praying for our children. If we don't pray for our children, society will take our children. And that's why it's so important that we pray for our children each and every day. I talk to individuals and they say, I pray for my children every day. And I hope you do. And I hope you continue to do. God wants us to pray for our children. We need to pray for our children, because if we don't pray for our children, society will take them. And so it's very important. They will be criticized for keeping the Sabbath, the holy days, and living a righteous life. Others, oh, you goody-goody two-shoe, you. I heard that expression when I was growing up, goody-goody two-shoe. You think you're better than us? And I just kind of look, I can laugh now, because I didn't try to make myself any better than them. But your example will shine, whether it's good or bad. And if our children do the right example, then they're going to shine out. And you'll be pleasing God, you'll be pleasing your parents, and you'll be pleasing your aunts and uncles and everyone involved that knows you personally. And one last final emphasis I want to place on praying for the children. I mentioned earlier, in society, many children are abused. They're taken advantage of. It's just terrible. Every day you can read in the paper of children. Pray for those children, even ones you don't even know. Please pray for all the children in the world. It's an evil world out there, but we can look forward to the kingdom of God when Jesus Christ returns and sets up his government. No more the evils of society. We will have the righteousness of God. The right way of God's way of life will be taught. The future children will have the blessings and the knowledge of all the truths of God. But now we need to pray now. If we haven't been praying for the children, we need to. And I want to encourage each and every one of you, pray for all the children.